You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, folks, let the fest begin. Today's the first day, a couple hours away, maybe 1 hour away. And looks like the weather's going to be fully cooperative this weekend, which is great news as well. Got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to cover a lot of different topics today, folks. We'll visit with Representative Tim Kerner about electronic monitoring in the back half of the 12 o'clock hour. That has been a critical tool to be utilized because of jail overcrowding in so many different parishes across the state of Louisiana. We'll get the latest on that bill. We'll have some open time in at noon. I watched the entire House and Governmental Affairs Committee meeting last evening, actually read the entire Louisiana State Constitution, and I have some observations to make about this process that we're going through, which is, they call it a process. I'm not sure what it is, and it became evident to me in listening to House and Governmental Affairs, many Republicans, almost all of the Democrats, have no idea what the process is either. They're having a real difficult time getting their head around it. And when you listen to the folks that are trying to explain what the process is, it doesn't make any sense. So that'll be an interesting revelation there. We'll visit with Mike Gonzalez, the Angelus T. Arredondo E. Pluribus Unum Senior Fellow, from the Heritage, about what's going on in U.S. college campuses. These protests, these encampments, what is actually happening? Why are they running the operation? The students, that is. And when you query them about what's actually going on and what they are protesting about, they cannot articulate three sentences together that give you a stream of consciousness that is even remotely related to the facts. It's compelling and telling. We start out the 11 o'clock hour visiting with Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk about great things going on in the North Shore. Jan Moeller joins us in the back half of this hour. Invest in Louisiana. We'll talk about HB 800 and the calling for that constitutional convention. Joining us now is Elena Carter and Rod Washington from the PATH Project for Assistance in Transition from Homelessness, the program director and the communications director. This is a program that's going on in St. John, the parish government. Elena and Rod, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So, Elena, let's start with you, if you would kind of give us the background and the mission and vision of this program.
Absolutely. So good morning, first off, and thank you so much for letting us be on this morning. The overall focus of our PATH program is to tackle heads on our opioid epidemic that the nation is seeing. With our PATH program, PATH standing for Prevention, Awareness, Treatment, and Hope, we want to make sure that everyone knows that there are many, many resources available throughout St. John the Baptist Parish available to them, to anyone that may be battling the opioid crisis. There are many, many resources that a lot of individuals do not know about. And so our initiative is to make everyone aware of what treatment options are available.
And these funds became available as a result of what?
The settlement. So there, and Mr. Washington can explain a little bit more about the settlement, but there is a opioid settlement that many states have been able to get and we are able to award those funds and make sure that we're able to provide services for the individuals in need.
Yeah, I'll chime in if you don't mind. Sure.
Yes, sir, please.
I'm sure you may be aware there have been billions of dollars in settlements against pharmaceutical companies thanks to the pursuit of the federal government and then states' attorneys generals who have been able to bring funds into their states and then divide it into various counties and parishes across the nation because of the impact of the opioid crisis. And so St. John the Baptist Parish is one of those parish governments who's taken advantage of those funds that have been gained through the settlements. And we want to thank Parish President Jacqueline Hotar for having the foresight to support an initiative that brings together not just government, but private business, nonprofits, and even faith-based resources to focus on the health and well-being of St. John the Baptist Parish residents.
To both of you, tell us a little bit about what you are seeing. Obviously, a lot of folks in a lot of different geographic areas are trying to address this fentanyl outbreak. What is the experience that y'all are having in St. John the Baptist Parish?
Well, we're working very closely with individuals that have been directly impacted by this opioid epidemic. We're running into individuals that because of relationships that they may have with someone that's battling this disease, they are running into loss of homes, loss of jobs, of course, just the overall impact that it's making on their families, direct impacts where it's dividing those families. Of course, the strain, just the natural strain of the local resources here. And as we're continuing to navigate, we're starting to see a rise and an increase in homelessness. And that is due just because of the choices that was made due to this opioid epidemic.
I know a lot of parishes have been following overdoses. What's the experience set in St. John the Parish, St. John the Baptist Parish, excuse me?
Well, I don't think any parish or county across the country is immune to it. It's just something that you see is kind of hush-hush because people don't want to bring attention to their personal problems. But this is something that we have to bring to the forefront, you know, preventive health care. We need to be able to put information in people's hand in front of them to let them know the route that you've seen others take and the deadly impact or the just drastic change that is brought to families is something that can be avoided through education, through prevention, through being referred to other resources as well, just to put them on a better path. Because, you know, in some situations, people are addicted, but in other situations, people are around those who are trying opioids, and we can prevent them. Those who are addicted, we can put them in a pathway to get the help they need to get clean, get sober, but also get some work skills, get a job, get back in a position where they can succeed in life and hopefully reconnect with their families and make things better.
Absolutely. Now, you guys are putting on a health fair, I guess you would refer to it, this weekend, correct?
Yes, that is correct. It is a community event. It's on Saturday, April 27th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., right here in St. John the Baptist Parish. It's going to be at our Highway 51 Park in LaPlace, Louisiana. It's open. It's free to residents. There are going to be many, many different activities. We're going to have over 24 vendors that's able to speak with the residents of St. John the Baptist Parish just to let them know about the different tools and resources that are needed for total wellness. We're going to have a lot of free giveaways. Of course, it's a family event, so we're going to have activities for children as well as just local speakers and as well as entertainment.
So a great educational opportunity as it relates to someone's individual overall health, maybe strategies to be deployed to deal with any number of ailments, right?
Correct.
That's correct. And having vendors there that cover a multitude of things, not just opioid, but various forms of health care. And as Ms. Carter also said, we will have those who were there to present employment opportunities, nutrition information, and other local resources that residents may not be aware that are available to them right there in St. John the Baptist Parish. That's why it's a great activity to come out. The weather will be great. It's no excuse just to come have a great time in the park and get some useful information that can help you. And if it's not useful to you because you're on top of your game, it's something that you can take and give to a friend, a neighbor, a family member, to let them know that we have classes that will be available. We're going to have classes from 6 to 7:30, 3 days a week in at River Parish Community College as part of the PATH program. It's going to be free classes open to all residents of St. John the Baptist Parish who are battling opioid addiction. And we want people to know, spread the word, come connect, have some fun, and be able to help put people in a better position because of the information and resources that are available to them.
Absolutely. Just a one-stop destination for all holistic health and prosperity.
So what is the next step for you guys? I know, one of the first steps is providing this education. Is this going to kind of grow into providing a continuum of services for folks that are facing these particular challenges?
Yes, sir. So as Mr. Washington just mentioned, the very first step is getting this program, letting everyone know about the program in this area through our event this weekend. And then we're going to focus on our classes. As Mr. Washington just mentioned, we're going to have classes 3 nights a week at our River Parish Community College in Reserve. And while we're doing those classes, we want to ensure and let everyone know about the different opportunities that's available, right? And then we want to continue to connect them to various resources that they're going to be needing in order to be successful as they transition into self-sufficiency. So it's just going to be the first step is with the classes and, of course, continuing providing those additional resources.
Now, that's great to hear because that's typically, where the breakdown is, right? Getting that A to point B connection and that provides some great and some really valuable information and getting folks through the process. This Saturday, April 27th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 2900 Highway 51, Laplace, Louisiana. Come on out. Free health and wellness fair sponsored by the St. John the Baptist Parish Government. Alana Carter and Rod Washington, thank you so much for what you are doing and hopefully have continued success with PATH, a project for assistance in transition from homelessness. Best of luck to both of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, folks. Breaking news. Louisiana State Police have served a search warrant on the Catholic Church. Pictures of Louisiana State Police members as provided for by NOLA.com arriving just before 10 a.m. there at the Walmsley Avenue headquarters of the Archdiocese. Initially, it was thought that they had a search warrant application for records related to the case of Lawrence Hecker. It turns out that it may be even larger than that, that they are seeking all church records related to local abuse crisis, as well as communications between Archbishop Gregory Amon and the Vatican. The Archdiocese has said that it is cooperating with the investigation. One of the issues that we've been talking quite a bit about is HB 800, which calls for a constitutional convention to rewrite the state constitution. A constitutional convention, the construct of which a lot of people have had a very difficult time describing. I happened to watch the House and Governmental Affairs Committee on HB 800 last evening, and it was evident to me that both Republicans and Democrats are having a very difficult time getting their head and arms around what it is that they are actually doing. And there seems to be a lot of confusion on how many committees will actually be voting on this, how will this be divided up, and why is there not an agenda that's been brought forth to these committees way in advance so that they could consume it, gain a better understanding, and really weigh in on the issues. Here to talk about this happenstance, Jan Moeller, Invest in Louisiana. Jan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, Sheriff.
So, Jan, if you would tell folks a little bit about your organization and what y'all do, and we'll start from there.
Sure. Well, we've been around since 2006. We just changed our name to Invest in Louisiana. Most people would probably know us as the Louisiana Budget Project, and we do policy research and advocacy, mostly on state budget and tax policies, with an particular emphasis on how these policies affect low and moderate income families in Louisiana. So that's the short story, but we've been very involved in this constitutional convention proposal, at least from the outside. We have not been on the inside of this because obviously it has the potential to affect a lot of areas that we care about, how, you know, our tax and our budget and how those issues are going to affect low-income families in Louisiana in particular.
Jan, what's your feeling and what's your perspective on this process thus far? Do you understand what's actually going down and what's happening?
The questions you asked were exactly the right questions, because this has come on extremely quickly. The governor had a press conference this morning at 9 a.m. I paid very close attention because I was hoping to learn the answer to some of these things. The governor and his allies still haven't said exactly what they want to change in the Constitution or why they want to change it. They've given some kind of very vague answers about giving the legislature more flexibility in the Constitution, but they haven't said what they want to change. But we do know that this process is being rushed through on a really unprecedented timeline. People should know that the last time we did this was 50 years ago, and it was a three-plus years process. The convention itself took a whole year, but before that, we held an election of the delegates to that convention, and before that, there was an election where Governor Edwards at the time, when he was candidate Edwards, ran on an explicit platform to have a constitutional convention. None of these things happened in this instance. We know that there was a transition team that met before Governor Landry took office. They made some recommendations. The governor hasn't even told us who was on that transition team, and he hasn't released the results of those recommendations yet. But he wants this constitutional convention to start about 3.5 weeks from right now, and he wants the whole process to take 2 weeks. He wants this done between May 20th and June 3rd, and then he wants to send that to the ballot. That is not enough time for anybody to make considerations, and it's not enough public input for something of this magnitude.
I'll make the following observation, Jan. I was watching House and Governmental Affairs debate HB 800 for the third time that they met. And the author of the bill, Beaulieu, brought forth an amendment that said that Article 1, 2, 3, and 4, which are all the articles, four of the articles in the Louisiana Constitution, that falls under the purview of House and Governmental Affairs Committee, that the administration has no intent to remove anything from the Constitution in those four articles. Well, that took them 3 weeks, three meetings, in order to do so. They learned for the first time, many of the members of that body yesterday, that the administration's strategy is to now go to the other articles. So like Article 5, the judiciary. So they would go to House Judiciary Committee to discuss what they intend to move, if anything at all, from Article 5 into a revised statute. They want to do the same with Article 6, with the appropriate committee there, as well as Revenue and Finance with House Ways and Means, and then Article 8, Education, and Article 9, Natural Resources, to all of these separate committees. Well, if it took 3 weeks in House and Governmental Affairs to get to a point where they have no intent to move anything out of any of those articles, how long is it going to take if they're not revealing to anyone what the agenda item is and what they desire to move? It's almost like they're playing poker with everyone right now, and it's a big guessing game, and we're running out of time. I mean, we got 30 days away. We still don't have an agenda.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I couldn't have said that better myself. And I think folks, our focus obviously is less on the judiciary and natural resources, but the tax and the budget constraints. And people need to remember that, first of all, nobody would defend every word in the current Constitution. We all know that it's been amended 216 sure. times over the last 50 years. I've voted against a lot of these amendments. I'm sure most people have. But the reason these amendments got on the bill into the Constitution is because the legislature, and more important, the people of Louisiana, wanted to protect the people of Louisiana from the Louisiana legislature. That's why these amendments got into the Constitution in the first place, because at some point, two-thirds of the legislature and a majority of the voters in this state said, there's something here that's so important that we need to protect it, whether it's the sales tax exemption on food and drugs and residential utilities, or it's the homestead exemption, or the minimum foundation program that funds public schools. There are a lot of important protections in there, funding for hospitals and nursing homes, funding for first responders. And the governor said this morning he doesn't think that they want to touch supplemental pay. But that was the only detail we've gotten. But again, to think that, 50 years of efforts by previous legislators to protect the people from the legislature could be undone in 2 weeks, while there are hundreds of other bills moving through the legislature, that's not enough time to consider something of this magnitude.
Yesterday, I recognized why we were in trouble when Representative Beaulieu, the chairman of House of the committee, went to the mic to move favorably on HB 800. It ended up along party lines, a 9-5 vote. In his preliminary statements before he made the motion to move the bill favorably, he says, there's a lot of scare tactics out there. MFP, you just talked about them. MFP, homestead exemption, sales tax exemptions, this, that, and everything else. And everybody is talking about this, trying to gin up support in these scare tactics. But he says, I guess I understand. He goes on to say, I guess it's the fear of the unknown because they haven't told us anything. I was like, are you kidding me? I mean, That is your preliminary statements to you moving the bill favorably to go to the House floor, where you want to talk about it as being scare tactics in one breath, and then in the next breath say, I understand, because it's a fear of the unknown, because the administration hasn't told us anything. And we actually had 9 Republicans vote in favor of moving that bill to the House floor favorably, and none of them know any of what's going on and what the process is going to be. I mean, this is a comedy show. You couldn't make this up.
It's exactly, and it's preposterous to think that they don't actually know what they want to change. And it's equally preposterous to say that, you know, because the first argument we heard was that we're not really rewriting the Constitution. We're just we're making it skinnier. You know, we're going to fat shame the Constitution. We're going to take things out of the Constitution and put it into statute. But don't worry, we're not changing anything you care about. And now the latest buzzword is this is about flexibility. But they're doing this, you know, they're not going to go through this process just because they want to move things from column A over to column B. They're doing this because there are things that they want to cut that they can't cut right now, or taxes they want to raise that they can't raise without a vote of the people. And so if you're going to be honest with the voters, you need to come out and say, this is what we want to change, and this is why we want to change it. Governor Landry was asked directly at his press conference this morning, are there any pots of money that are off limits to you right now that you would like to have the flexibility to cut? And the answer he gave was, no, I can't tell you that. He kind of, deflected the question. So
yeah, he refused. He refused in an interview with Jim Angster to say that he's not going to touch the homestead exemption.
Absolutely. This morning he kind of said, well, I don't think we want to touch the homestead exemption. I don't think we want to touch supplemental pay. And I understand why he says that. He doesn't want that building filled with first responders worried about their paycheck.
So, and homeowners.
And homeowners. Absolutely. So there's a lot of things that people are going to come to that building to protect. But it's, again, I have to believe that they know exactly what they want to change and why, if they think they can wrap this up in 2 weeks, but they haven't said so. And the other point is, when we did this the last time, 50 years ago, I wasn't around then, but we elected the delegates to this convention. This time, the legislators themselves and 27 appointees would be sitting in judgment. And maybe there are some legislators who ran on the idea of having a constitutional convention, but a lot of them never mentioned it, and a lot of them never even had the campaign. There are 144 legislators, and 71 of them got elected automatically when nobody filed to run against them. So all they had to do was file the paperwork, and they never had to tell the voters what they planned to do. So you've got a lot of people who are sitting there in judgment of this, potentially in a 2-week convention, who've never had to go on the record about what they think about a constitutional convention, what they want to change and what they want to preserve.
Yeah, and I asked a question of some legislators the other day. I think there are $7.2 billion in tax exemptions that are either in the Constitution or in the revised statute. And my thought was, why are we not studying and these tax exemptions, some that go back to the 50s, to see whether or not they still make sense? What fiscal impact they actually have for the state? And why don't we clean up our house and get our house in order first as it relates to these tax exemptions before we start tweaking the Constitution? Because they keep, as you pointed out, this is about the $500 million fiscal cliff that we're going to have next year. Well, when that number is a drop in the bucket next to $7.2 billion in tax exemptions. And that number goes up every time inflation goes up, right? I remember when I left the sheriff's office 6 years ago, we were at about $6 billion, or 5.9, if my memory serves me correct. And now, 6 years later, it's worth $7.2 billion. Why wouldn't we look at those first to make sure that we're...
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent point. And there have been commissions over the years. I've been around long enough now. I've seen about half dozen studies on these. And you're right. That's absolutely where they should look. But there's also what these studies usually find is a lot of these tax exemptions are there for a reason. And there's certainly some that, you know, I don't think anybody can defend reasonably. But, you know, from our perspective as an organization, one of the things the Constitution exempts is that the state is not allowed to apply the state sales tax to groceries, to prescription drugs, and to home utilities. Those three tax exemptions are worth about $1.2 billion. That's a lot of money. And I'm sure there are a lot of legislators who would like to get at that money. But that exemption is there for a very good reason. It's because the people of Louisiana said we should not apply the sales tax to basic necessities that low-income people need. You know, I mean, we all need those things. But when you're somebody with a low income, most of what you spend goes to your basic necessities, and the state sales tax doesn't apply to that. That's something that could be on the table. And frankly, from our perspective, that's something that should stay in the Constitution. I don't want this legislature taxing grandma's groceries and prescription drugs so that they maybe can free up some money to pay for income tax cuts.
And the interesting thing as well, they keep saying that, you know, well, we will articulate our position at some point in time. It's a mystery as to when that will be. But there's no guarantee that once they go into the convention, that House Bill 800 will be the guiding document, because there's language in the Constitution about constitutional conventions that seems to imply that once you go into the convention, you know, there are a bunch of rules that say you can't restrict by a House bill or otherwise. And there's conflicting legal opinions right now as to how that ultimately works and if that is, in fact, the truth, you know, as to what it's going to be. So it's kind of interesting that there's a lot of unanswered questions here.
You're right. And once they get into a convention, my understanding is that all bets are off. Now, I take them at their word. You know, the governor has, you know, there are supermajority Republican rule in the House and Senate. So we can take them at their word, maybe, that they will stay limited. I doubt anybody's going to take away Second Amendment rights or, you know, the pro-life wording in the Constitution or the free speech. It's not realistic to think that they would do that, but theoretically, they could go into any section of that Constitution once they're in a convention, and we don't know. And you know, I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not qualified to say what they could, but that is certainly a danger.
Yeah, but when it comes to taxes, you know, when one group may get impacted, and then one way to beat back the momentum as it relates to one group is to go try and grab another group to be similarly impacted, right? I mean, you know as well as I, that is legislative strategy 101. I mean, and it's hard to even think that when we go into this forum that we're going to be devoid of what we of a club that we have in our bag that we use all the time. You know, I just don't see it.
Absolutely. And you know, they say that they want more flexibility to deal with a fiscal cliff, but there is a distinct possibility that they could make things even harder on themselves. You know, there's a lot of people in that building who want to eliminate the individual and corporate income tax in Louisiana. Those two taxes make up close to half of the entire state general fund. So if a constitutional convention got out of control and said, hey, we're going to put on the ballot that Louisiana can't have an income tax, we're going to be just like Texas and Florida, well, then you just made a $500 million budget shortfall into a $5 billion budget shortfall for next year if the voters approve this. And I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but that possibility certainly exists.
Right. Jan Mola, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time, your insight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir. Truly appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
On a text line, take them at their word about nothing. Show me the document. It's a money grab, plain and simple. So what we learned yesterday is that Article 1, 2, 3, and 4, there is no desire to move anything from the Constitution to a super statute or revised statute. Article 1 is Declaration of Rights. Those are your personal rights, your personal freedoms like expression, religion, the right of assembly and petition, the right to keep and bear arms, freedom from discrimination. Article 2 is distribution of powers. That sets up the structure of government, the three branches, right? The executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judiciary. Article 3 is the legislative branch. Article 4 is the executive branch. And they said there's nothing that they want to touch in the Constitution and move to statute in those four articles. Every time we talk about this, folks ask me who voted for what. So the House and Governmental Affairs Committee met yesterday. The chairman, Bo Bolu, who is the author of the bill, HB 800, moved that bill favorably to the floor. The vote broke out this way. The chairman, Bo Bolu, voted yes. Rodney Lyons from Jefferson Parish, the West Bank, voted no. He's a Democrat. Michael Bayham, Republican, voted yes. Beth Billings, Republican, voted yes. Delisha Boyd voted no, Democrat. Wilford Carter was absent. Jessica Domang, Republican, voted yes. Les Farnham, Republican, voted yes. Foy Gadberry, Republican, voted yes. Ed Larvadane, Democrat, voted no. Denise Marcel, Democrat, voted no. Candace Newell, Democrat, voted no. Rodney Shammerhorn, Republican, voted yes. Polly Thomas from the East Bank of Jefferson Parish, voted yes. Mark Wright, Republican, was absent. John Weibel, Republican, voted yes. So it ended up being a 9-5 vote in the House and Governmental Affairs. You will recall that I said if my legislators, either Senator Cameron Henry or my representative voted on behalf of HB 800, that I would not be voting for them again. And a lot of people have embraced that as well. Polly Thomas, being on the East Bank, voted yes. Give her a call. Tell her where you stand, because this is going to come up for another vote on the House floor. There's a whole lot of other committees, as we learned yesterday, as to how their strategy is in dealing with some of this. We still don't have a full, complete understanding of what it is. Even this morning, the governor, we're less than 30 days away from when they're supposed to go in. There's no agenda. There's no articulation of what he wants to move from the Constitution to revised statute. This almost feels like we're playing a mystery board game here, right? Where we're trying to guess what's going to ultimately be out there. Keep everything so we can't have a robust debate about what there is. He doesn't want opposition, obviously, to jump up and bite him on the derriere. So we'll just keep everybody in the dark to the very last moment. Great strategy, right? Not an honest strategy, though. Obviously not a transparent strategy. Seems to be counter to a lot of things that he ran on, a lot of the basic principles that he ran on. Why is that? Is this all about the win? Is that all this is? And we don't care about what the public thinks? And the only way that you can articulate about your thoughts on this matter is to call your House member, call your members of the Senate, and let them know where you stand and demand answers relative to an agenda. Now, not later. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.